You are invited to visit the Stream Globe online radio. The link is streamglobe.radio. That is www.streamglobe.radio. You will find the link at the end of every devotional text. This online radio is a 24-hour radio service filled with edifying sermons, edifying Christian music, talk shows, and of course, Stream Globe devotional. Stream Globe online radio has been optimized to minimize internet data consumption. Hi everyone. This is just a quick heads up to stay safe on WhatsApp. Unfortunately, there are some people out there who may try to trick you into sharing sensitive information. Please remember that no one from Stream Globe would ever ask you for codes or numbers. Also, if you're on any of our Stream Globe WhatsApp groups, if you receive any unsolicited messages from a member of your WhatsApp group, don't panic. Don't leave the group. Simply block and report such a person to WhatsApp using the report option. They won't be able to send you messages again, and WhatsApp will take appropriate action to prevent this from happening to others. Such people will most likely be eventually banned by WhatsApp. So please be careful as you use WhatsApp, and remember to forward Stream Globe devotional to your friends and contacts on WhatsApp.
Hello, and welcome to Stream Globe Daily Devotional. Your host is Pastor S.D. Abraham.
Today's Stream Globe Devotional is titled Meditate on God's Word. Today's meditation was written by Larry Toby. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Psalm 119, verse 148. My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. I have just read from the King James Version. As I sat down to write this devotional, a strong sense came over me. It's high time we put a spotlight on spiritual growth. Today, let's dive into something crucial that fuels our spiritual progress. Many Christians haven't explored the incredible benefit of dwelling on God's word. Let's really delve into this. You might have heard people say, I'm not sure how to meditate on the word. But guess what? If you've ever worried, you already have a foundation for meditating on God's word. Worrying is taking a negative thought and replaying it in your mind, which leads to fear. Similarly, when you take a piece of scripture and roll it over and over in your thoughts, even saying it loud, that's meditating on the word, and it stirs up faith. Anyone who's ever worried can meditate. Meditating on God's word is like fuel for your faith. Worry, on the other hand, fuels fear, which dampens faith and brings in darkness. Faith is your most powerful spiritual tool. It guarantees your triumph in life. Check out Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 and 1 John chapter 5 verse 4b. Why not give it a shot today? Instead of fretting about a situation, find a verse from the Bible that relates and meditate on it. Go into today determining to meditate on God's word that speaks into the situation you are facing. Take the time you would usually spend worrying and redirect it towards meditating on God's word and His mighty power. Pray like this. Holy Spirit, please open my eyes to see wondrous things from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our yearly Bible reading plan for today shall be taken from John chapter 10 to John chapter 12. Now, this Bible reading plan is continuous. So if you begin with us today, for example, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The audio comes up next, John chapter 10 to John chapter 12.
Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice.
Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again,
"Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father."
The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said,
"He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?"
But others said,
"These are not the sayings of someone possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying,
"How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly."
Jesus answered,
"I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them,
"I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?"
"We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God."
Jesus answered them,
"Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do not believe me, unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father."
Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said,
"Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true.
And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus.
Lord, the one you love is sick.
When he heard this, Jesus said,
"This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
"But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back."
Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when people walk at night that they stumble, for they have no light."
After he had said this, he went on to tell them,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up."
His disciples replied,
"Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better."
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
"Let us also go, that we may die with him."
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
"Lord,"
Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask."
Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise again."
Martha answered,
"I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
Jesus said to her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord,"
she told him.
"I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world."
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
"The teacher is here,"
she said,
"and is asking for you."
When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
"Where have you laid him?"
"Come and see, Lord."
Jesus wept. Then the Jews said,
"See how he loved him."
But some of them said,
"Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone,"
he said.
"But, Lord,"
said Martha, the sister of the dead man,
"by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days.
Then Jesus said,
"Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out!
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them,
take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin.
What are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation.
Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own. But as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So, from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another,
what do you think?
Isn't he coming to the festival at all?
But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it, so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then, Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He said, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. This keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it.
Leave her alone.
Jesus replied,
it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting,
Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Blessed is the King of Israel!
Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. Now, The crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another,
"See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request.
"Sir,"
they said,
"we would like to see Jesus."
Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied,
"The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name."
Then a voice came from heaven.
"I have glorified it and will glorify it again."
The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said,
"This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself."
He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up.
"We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?"
"Who is this Son of Man?"
Then Jesus told them,
"You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Those who walk in the dark do not know where they are going. Put your trust in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light."
When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory of God. Then Jesus cried out,
"Those who believe in me do not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When they look at me, they see the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for those who hear my words but do not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for those who reject me and do not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say."
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at www.streamglobe.org.